Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
I'd like to welcome you to the Simple Actions Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is David, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, David.
For those who care to join us, let's open the meeting with a moment of silence and do it as you wish, followed by the Serenity Prayer. The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance this evening. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively. The restrooms are across the main foyer and up a small flight of stairs. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of simple actions. These actions are contained in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of AA's simple actions. I will now read the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy. It neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open, big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. And the step we are discussing tonight is step 11. I'll read this step, and then I'm going to read a small section out of the book, and our panelists will share for a few minutes on each paragraph, and then I'll go back and read another paragraph, and that's kind of how this meeting goes. So you guys could help me welcome Leanne and Sharon tonight. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. We're going to start tonight on page 85 in the big book. Step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy on the matter of prayer. Better men than we are using it constantly. It works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. It would be easy to be vague about this matter, yet we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions. When we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do we owe an apology? Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person at once? Were we kind and loving toward all? What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time? Or were we thinking of what we could do for others, of what we could pack into the stream of life? But we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection, for that would diminish our usefulness to others. After making our review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. Leanne?
My name's Leanne. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Leanne.
This is my home group, Simple Actions, and my sobriety date is August 8th, 1999. And When I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I was 31 years old, and I couldn't stop drinking. And I had my first drink around 13 years old. Well, I probably sipped earlier than that, but but that was, you know, when I was off and running. And I had a lot of fun drinking, a lot of crazy experiences. And by the time I was 31, I couldn't go a day without it. And I'd wake up in the morning trying to figure out how I was going to get that next drink. I didn't know anything about Alcoholics Anonymous. I didn't know what an alcoholic was. I would have told you that I just had problems. I'd been seeing shrinks since I was 13 years old and had been on a lot of medications. You know, what David read here, my prayers were, God, get me out of this one. I won't do it again. It was, if you do this for me, I'll do this for you. There was this barter system, and I understand today that that's not the God of my understanding, that's not how it works. In the book, when it talks about lack of power, that was our dilemma, and that was my dilemma. I just couldn't get that switch just right. You know, I just kept trying over and over and over again with the drinking, with the behaviors, and without any success, I always ended up drinking again. So when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, and you know, you talked about the unmanageability, the powerlessness, you started talking about God, I had no concept of that, and so I really had to begin to take direction from people in the rooms. And I got a sponsor early on, and she suggested that I get on my knees and pray, and I fought that tooth and nail. I didn't want to do it. I felt like I looked stupid even though I was by myself. I would find, you know, this place in my house and get down on my knees, and every time I'd walk up and I'd have the water goblet, little water marks, you know, that bubble up on the carpet, because I just didn't want to admit that I was powerless, you know, and that I had to seek from a power greater than me. I'd been running my life my whole life. And so, you know, any of these questions, I was so delusional. You know, any time that I felt like maybe I was dishonest or selfish or afraid, I would kind of sweep that under the rug. That's been my motto my whole life, is just brush things under and keep moving on. And that's why at 13, you know, or even before that, had a lot of obsessive compulsive issues going on, you know, and would self-abuse or whatever, you know. I won't go into details, but that's where I ended up with shrinks early on. And so when I found booze, that was like another one of those that just could block all that away. And so when I remember reading this in the book, and thinking, you know, having to look at this on a daily basis, I didn't do this for a really long time in Alcoholics Anonymous. I was about 7 years in the program without a drink, and I had had a sponsor that we just did 12-step work out of the 12 and 12, and it was never out of the big book. And, you know, I look back now, and where I've come in those last 8 years of having women walk me through this has really changed my sobriety. And so 8 years ago, it was suggested that I start reading these pages every morning. And for me, that's been, you know, very beneficial to me and the people around me. Because when I have to look at these questions, you know, where was I kind and loving toward all, I can tell you today that there's really not a day that goes by that I can't answer, you know, yes to that. Most of the time, there's somebody in my day that I haven't been very kind and loving to. And it doesn't feel good today. so I'm at that place with inventory, with this, with somebody in my life of really, I don't want to be that person anymore. And it's very painful. It hurts. And because when I hurt somebody else today, it's here, you know, like I feel it. And so I have to ask God for corrective measures and ask for forgiveness. And then with that, the corrective measures a lot of times come from my sponsor. A few weeks ago, I said something to my husband, and it wasn't very nice, and it was very selfish and self-centered, and I shared that with her, and she said, she gave me a suggestion, you know, and it was simple. It was cook dinner. Make something special for him when he comes back from this trip, you know, and as tired as I was that Friday night, I got home, I went to the store on lunch, and I made this dinner, you know, and it seems so simple, but I can tell you, that's not my idea, you know, but I did it, and so those, you know, making that review, asking for God's forgiveness and the corrective measures that should be taken, a lot of times that's from the guidance of a sponsor, for me to be able to grow in effectiveness and understanding of my true nature. Thanks.
Hi, everybody. I'm Sharon. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Sharon.
And this is my first time at the table, so they prayed with me beforehand.
Thank you.
I guess they did that with everybody. I think they just did it for me. Anyhow, I am a true alcoholic. And my arriving here is a little bit different than Leanne's. I've recognized alcoholics and alcoholism in my life at a younger age. And the first time I had heard of Alcoholics Anonymous, I was 14, down in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. And my mom had started going to meetings down there. And either things were tense around the house and she was going to meetings, or things were fun and she was drinking, or things were really, 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 really sad and she was drinking. And I remember doing a lot of taking care of my parents at a young age. Both my mom and my stepdad at that point were drinking. And that was not going to be me at all. And it was a few short years later that we were back in the States, and my Aunt Helen, she would come into town, and she had this big, huge green, I don't know what kind of car it was, but it was huge, huge green car, lime green. And she would fly in, and if she made it into the driveway, Mom and her were probably going to a meeting that night, but if she made it into the ditch, it was going to be a wild, fun night. That was my Aunt Helen. That's the way I saw it, kind of, the drinking part. It took you to the highs and the lows. It took you to the really fun night, or things were going to be hell. And I didn't know that it was going to be just a few short years later before that was true for me, too. I wasn't going to be like that. And at 19, my mom, she recognized the symptoms in me. And she offered to take me to a meeting, and she took me to the side door. And I don't remember if you were there. I don't remember, because at that time everybody was smoking, and I saw like from here down. So I might recognize your shoes, but I didn't see the faces. And that was my perception of Alcoholics Anonymous. It was a bunch of grummy people that had to go there, that were going to be boring, that it was gonna suck. If I ever had to get there. And there were tools that were brought home from AA prior to me getting here, tools that we practiced in our home, like Easy Does It, First Things First, lots of things. Mom did Easy Does It a lot as she was pouring the wine in the glass. And I watched that stuff. So when I got here and I started hearing some of the tools and the solution, including prayer, it just rubbed me really, really, really the wrong way. And I did not think that I could get answers here, or a new way of life, or a God that I could connect with. I also had a lot of trial runs with a higher power prior to getting here. And we tried different churches and denominations just in case that stuff was true. And I was baptized multiple times in multiple different churches, just to be sure I was covered in case it was true. And that was my connection. I prayed a lot. I did prayer and medication. I did. I was taken to a therapy early, and because something was not quite right with me. It never has been quite right with me. And so I did prayer and medication for a long time. And then I got here because my alternative was I wanted to die. So maybe, possibly, if I had to live, I might be willing to give this a try. And I've heard a lot of people talk about a lot of different types of sponsors that help them through the steps, and some of them were, you know, really straight, push things down people's throats and pull them around and did all, and it worked for them, and they talked about how wonderful that was for them. And for me, that wasn't the case. I had a very, very, very gentle, loving, kind sponsor that grew up in a completely different background than I did, and it didn't matter. We just opened the big book and walked through it and got up to this step. And then she just asked me to just continue trying it, whether I liked it or not. The first thing I didn't like about it was in that first paragraph, it had the word work in it. Work to me is a four-letter word. And I couldn't stand the concept that I had to continue working. I had to continue working. And she reminded me that early on, you know, several months before when I started this deal, she had asked me to go to 90 meetings in 90 days, and I couldn't do that either. Well, what I could do was go to a meeting today and plan my meeting for tomorrow. And so when we got to the step, she said, I'm not telling you to do the 11th step every morning and every night for the rest of your life. I'm just asking you to do it tonight and do it tomorrow morning, and then give me a call. Do it the next night, do it the next morning, and then give me a call. That was doable. I could do that. And so I started practicing the 11th step that way. I'm also a person that if something sparkles, I'm gone. I get really, really distracted pretty easily. So routine, balance, discipline, responsibility, those kinds of things don't come naturally to me. I'm just like, I want to go. And so this doing it on a daily basis, it changes up for me. I can't say that I do this every night. I can say that I continually willing to be open to it and continually try to do this and continually ask for guidance and ask my higher power to help me with it. And so I get different methods of practicing it. I mean, originally it was strictly by the book. Open up the book, go, you know, line by line, answer each question, do that kind of thing. Sometimes it's, for a while, it was the last thing that I did at night was brush my teeth. So I had a sign on my mirror that said, don't forget, do your 11 step, you know. And then other times I've had like 10 and 11 step partners at 10. I had our 10 and 11 at 10 partner. And this was Sherry. She and I were best buds for several years before she moved away. And we would touch base with each other, and we'd go through this. And that was awesome because it wasn't as easy to lie to myself when I was talking to another person in the program about it. So I did that, and what I know is by nature, I tend to want to stuff things. So if I'm not practicing this, whatever the issue is, if I'm not accountable to somebody, or I stuff it back down and I do my Scarlett O'Hara syndrome of, oh, I can't think about that today, I'll think about that tomorrow. And it's not just until tomorrow though for me. It keeps stuffing more and more, and it builds and builds, and eventually I get in enough pain to become willing to start over again practicing the step. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to continue on page 86. On awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance, for after all, God gave us brains to use. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. In thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here we ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought, or a decision. I like this one. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We are often surprised how the right answers come after we've tried this for a while. What used to be the hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. Being still inexperienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it is not probable that we are going to be inspired at all times. We might pay for this presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration. We come to rely upon it. Yeah?
Yeah, so the past, I don't know, maybe year, maybe not that long, with this paragraph, when I read it every morning, I took somebody's suggestion that I heard that sat at the table in here, and he shared where he'll say this out loud when he's reading it. And so when it says we consider our plans for the day before we begin, so this little prayer here, because anytime the book says ask, I know that that's a prayer. We ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. And so that's what I've been doing. And something about that, I don't know, I can't say something shifted in me, but I'm pausing there, you know, and I'm asking. And I don't know what that's going to look like throughout my day. You know, I don't get to know what that answer is going to be for what's going to come down the pipe. But I feel like in the morning when I can have this time to get quiet and think about my day, that, not that it's going to go better, but there's me being willing to look at it. Like, there might be something that's coming down the pipe that I've got to call somebody at work, and I don't want to have to make that phone call. You know, it could be something business, or somebody that I'm working with that I need to call to have a conversation with. You know, I take that to God in the morning and ask Him, you know, to be with me with that and ask for His directive, what, you know, for it to be His words. And when David said we relax and take it easy, you know, for me that's been difficult. There are days that I'm better than others on that. It's a lot better than it used to be. I was just that ticking time bomb. Just so intense and tightened and stressed out when I wasn't drinking, because I was like that for a while in Alcoholics Anonymous in the meetings, you know, just irritable, restless, discontent, and damn it, I'm not drinking. And nothing was getting better. And, you know, for me today, that perspective, God's given me a different perspective on a lot of things. That I know no matter what it is I'm going through, what struggles, something that I'm having to look at that's really ugly, that I'm going to be taken through that. I'm willing today to walk through that in that messy yuck and get to the other side. You know, and let's see that next page. Oh, yeah, this, I've got caution written here on page 87. You know, my whole life spending time doing what my head has told me to do. And this, for me, is ego. I've got up there in big letters with the exclamation mark, ego, because I might pay for this presumption and all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. You know, there's a guy that I hear sometimes that talks about how we always clamor for that zone. You know, that ego is just always wanting to be right, wanting to have things the way that we want them to be. And I struggle with that. You know, I can be like that at work. I work with family and working with my brother, and, oh, I can't believe that he just said that, you know, or the judgments, my prejudices of people. I can do it in an AA, I can do it in my family, you know. And what happens, you know, with that, when I start making those judgments, then a lot of times I'll have an action that's not real attractive. You know, I might cut somebody short, say something that's really kind of cunning and baffling to that person. Like, you know, how is, you know, well, if you go to that doctor, that might affect our premium at work, you know, like, what does that matter? You know, it's all about how I'm going to look in situations. It's never about the care and concern of somebody else. Like, that has been the biggest thing, I think, for me, is how something's going to look. And I will do that until, I mean, it just treats somebody terribly about it, just so I'm not going to look bad. And it really hurts the other person. I had something, I got home from work and my husband and I, he's like, "We want to sit down and have a cup of tea." I'm like, "Yeah, sure, that'd be great." Just, you know, relax before I came here. And there was something that I'd said a couple weeks ago or something, and I think it had to do with that insurance thing. And he said, because he's getting ready to have a test, and he goes, "Well, is that going to affect your insurance at work?" Like, he made a joke about it. But to me, I mean, my eyes welled up with water, and I knew, you know, like, it had affected him. He brought it up again. And I just don't like that. You know, that's my nature. And that's what I brought here. It's not what you did to me. It's not what my family did to me. It's me. That's my nature, and that's what I brought here. But the steps and the actions that I can take in here and find in that relationship with God, who's going to change my heart. And I've had it happen, you know. I mean, I've had it happen with people in my life, and I count on that today. And I guess that's all past the shaping.
Thank you.
Thanks, Anne.
Before I go on with the morning, I want to mention really quick one of the things with the nighttime. If I forget to do my nighttime ritual, a friend of mine in my home group says, you know, if you're going to grow spiritually, you need to do rituals. That's right there in the word. But if I forget to do that at night, just like we've been told that we can start a day over at any time, I can end my day at any time. And so that has also been one of my practices, is that sometimes I'll do my nighttime questions, my nighttime routine. I don't just get to go, okay, skip, didn't do it, move on. Because again, if I don't do that, I'm carrying the weight, the burden, the issues along with me, and it will affect how I interact with the world around me the next day. So, on awakening. This one, these days, comes a lot easier to me than the nighttime, than my nighttime routine. I don't know if it's because I'm tired or I just don't feel like it. I don't know what it is, but the morning one comes easier. Not all the time, but pretty frequently, it's been easier for me. It's taken a while in practice with my sponsor, and again, like I mentioned, having to try different methods of getting myself to do the deal. It is true. I talked with my sponsor about having the book beside my bed, having the book by the coffee pot, or having, you know, the reminder on the mirror, or I'm going to do it on the back porch, or I'm going to call you and do it, or I'm going to do it before I get out of the bed in the morning, before I even pee. I'm going to do this, you know, because I know the bottom line is I've been around long enough to know that it makes a difference in my life, and it makes a difference in the life of the people around me, and how I serve and how I act and how I have relationships. It makes a difference, and it's so worth it. So I think I'm so grateful that I'm finally, at least for today, I think I'm in a routine of doing this. I love connecting with my higher power before I see anybody else's face, because that gives them a better chance. It just really, really does. It used to all be about, you know, I was okay and they were the horrible ones. Now I'm like, oh God, please protect them from me. You know, and that's how it seems to be. Let me think. Again, I've done where I go through the book exactly. My sponsor has certain prayers that she says in the morning, and I really, really got in the routine of doing those, and it covers pretty much all of this. It's just a different order of words, and they come really special to me. That's something that I've practiced a lot this year. I've adopted it. It gets me out of me before I even get out of bed. It gets me thinking about other people. It gets me reminded about people in my past, past sponsees, past sponsors, past home groups, everything that it's taken to help me become who I am today. And it gets me to be much more humble. And I was cracking up because I was trying to prepare for this a little bit. I wasn't going to be just off the cuff. I was going to prepare for tonight when it... You know, and I'm driving here, and I forgot everything that I was preparing. And then I thought, you know, yeah, but I want to be the most clever, funny, charming, humble person that's ever sat at that table. And that's kind of me. When I start the day off with this stuff, it's not so much about all of that. It's not about what you think about me. It's not, you know... And that's huge. I've been wanting you to like me since the day I was born. I've been wanting you to accept me. I've been inadequate. I've been all of these things for as far back as I can remember. I've never been enough, and I've been told that I wasn't enough on multiple occasions as a child and a young adult and a young wife and a young mother. And I was, you know, so I had that really impacted and reinforced in me. What's been different here is my higher power tells me something different. And when I connect with my higher power, no matter what happens today, even in the rooms of AA, for some reason I thought that when I came in the rooms of AA that I was the one that was learning. Y'all had learned that you should be on your good behavior. Nobody should hurt me. I was learning, and you were all going to love me and accept me through this. But the bottom line is, we're all learning. And so my safety net in this program and in my day and in my interaction with the world is my higher power. And so why wouldn't I want to start the day with my higher power? I've started trusting my higher power. When I got here, I didn't trust, you know, I totally relied on people until the day I wanted to die. But I didn't trust them. I got to the point where I didn't trust other people. I totally didn't trust myself. Why would I? It was inadequate. And I stopped trusting my higher power. Today, I can honestly say, with a lot of practice, a lot of work, a lot of rituals, a lot of things, that my higher power will bring me through. So why not start the day with my higher power? When I have that quiet time, there's been several times where I would do some really wacko behavior, and then I tell my sponsor afterwards. And she goes, didn't you get like an inkling, like an intuition, like something that told you that maybe that's not the best idea? And I was like, yeah, but I didn't listen to that. She goes, maybe that was your God voice. And I was like, what? And I like that. I don't know for certain that every time I get some intuitive thought that it is from God. But more times than not, if I'm doing it and hearing it in the beginning of the day before I have a chance to get this thing rolling in between my ears, I have a better chance that it probably is something from my higher power. And I've been reassured by my sponsor that if I'm hearing it wrong, if I'm, you know, even if it's during the day and I ask God to direct me and I go off, you know, the path, my higher power is not going to drop me. My higher power will redirect me. And that is so reassuring, because I just kept seeing like cliffs. There was, you know, it's the path and then the cliff. And I was, you know, if I made the wrong choice, if I did the wrong thing, I was forever doomed, poof, off the cliff. And I wasn't going to die. I was just going to be forever falling off the cliff, knowing that it was going to be hell. And that's not it today. Today, my higher power has carried me through so much. I don't know. I love it. I love this step. I love connecting with my higher power. I did have some really wacko things that I thought were, I hear a lot about, this is a God thing, that's a God thing. For some people, maybe they can see their God things. I don't know if it's a God thing when things happen. I had my second year in the program. I really, really wanted something. I wanted this house. And my poor sponsors heard about a house for a decade, and other people heard about my marriage for like 5 years. And I mean, people heard about my stuff. But I really wanted this house. And I prayed about it, and I was being open-minded, and if it's your will, and da-da-da-da-da, you know, on and on and on. Well, and we find this house that, on paper, looked like a good idea. And I even suckered my husband into it. And he was willing to sign this contract on this house, which is not an easy thing to do. But he did. And I'm driving home, and on the side of the road, somebody has just moved into a house. And there's all these moving boxes there, and I'm like, oh, it's a sign. It's a God thing. I'm going to get this house. So I pack up all the boxes, and I put it in the back of my car, and I take them home. The very next day, I was whining and moaning about that. If we get the house, then I want the plants to go. And I drove down the road. There's a whole bunch of plant pots sitting on the side of the road. I'm like, how cool is that? God is showing me this is what I'm supposed to be. So I'm loaded. You know, I could probably be doing something useful like mopping my floor or doing my laundry, but I'm loading my vehicle with pots and boxes and this and that and the other. And I'm calling my sponsor, and I'm telling her about all these God things that are happening. And I love her dearly. Another very gentle sponsor who just says, you know, darling, I have no idea, but it'll be interesting to see how it works out. We didn't get the house. We didn't get, I had to unload the boxes and the pots and the plants. But I believed it for a while. Today, I know, just keep being open. Just whatever I'm guided to. And again, if I'm off course, God will trust my higher power. He'll redirect me. What a cool thing.
That was awesome.
All right, we're going to continue on page 87. We usually conclude the period of meditation with a prayer that we be shown all through the day what our next step is to be, that we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. We ask especially for freedom from self-will, and we are careful to make no request for ourselves only. We may ask for ourselves, however, if others may be helped. We are careful never to pray for our own selfish ends. Many of us have wasted a lot of time doing that, and it doesn't work. You can easily see why.
Mm-hmm. Normally in the morning, after I read this, then I'll get on my knees and say the third and seventh step prayer. In the past few years in sobriety, I've got like a prayer list, and I don't ask for anything in particular for a person, but if I know somebody's going through a tough time or got something challenging, just ask God to wrap his loving arms around them. You know, just simple, simple little prayer, and. Because I don't know what's best for anybody. It kind of centers me for the day. I have somebody today at work even that she was kind of going through the beginning stages of something that I went through several years ago, you know, and just I remembered that she had that doctor's appointment this morning. And when I went in, you know, it was because I had thought about the 24 hours ahead, you know, and so I went in and said, hey, what time is that doctor's appointment? You know, and afterwards, I didn't run into her, what did he say, all that, but she came to me, you know, and, you know, that caring, you know, for somebody else, and I don't know what it'll, you know, turn out from her moving forward, but she knows that I've been there, and that wasting a lot of time doing that, it doesn't work. You can easily see why. I've had that head of just plunging or rushing through my day, not not doing this, you know, when I shared about those first 7 years in Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, I said the third and seventh step prayer, and then I'd call my sponsor and I'd tell her what I'd done. And then, you know, and we talk about it, and then I'd, you know, go through my day, and then I'd call my sponsor and tell her what I'd done, and then we'd, you know, go through it. I never took it into an inventory, you know, of asking God to change me, because for me that's, you know, that's what it is, thought through prayer and meditation to improve that conscious contact, because I don't have that conscious contact with God throughout my day, like, constantly, you know. And so it says here we have to pray constantly and ask. In the previous paragraph when we talked about being inexperienced and having just made conscious contact, that's when I get that conscious contact, is when I'm praying. I mean, when I'm not praying, I don't have that conscious contact. I'm sorry. I mean, that's been my experience. It's, I'd love to be able to stay there all the time, but that's not my experience. So when I'm praying and I'm getting quiet, that's when, for me, I feel that presence of God, of a creator that wants the best for me. And as soon as I step out of that, you know, it's all about Leanne again. And so that's when the book talks about having to do this constantly for me. That's become more and more. You know, I remember the first time I'm maybe 90 days sober, and I'm driving to a meeting, and it's 11 o'clock, and I said a prayer, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I prayed again. It wasn't just in the morning. Like, I had a conscious thought to pray again throughout the day. And to me today in my sobriety, that happens more and more, you know, by willing to get quiet and do this in the morning. Thanks.
Thanks, Leanne. Period of meditation with a prayer. I was thinking about, I had mentioned that I had my God up just in case before I got here. And that was it. I mean, I did a lot of what I was supposed to do, and a lot of churches and church schools and home setting and a lot of things I was. But I didn't have a connection with any being prior to getting here. But I was really quick to say that I was a Christian and I believed in God and this, you know, and the teachings that I had, and this is how it should be, and this is how come you were wrong, and this is how you should be, and this is, you know, those kinds of things. I was really quick with that. I had no connection. And it wasn't until I did my 5th, 6th, and 7th step at Great Neck Park with my first sponsor, and I had that hour to kind of review everything. And I had one of those moments that not everybody has. I was on the, and it might not sound like a big deal to y'all, but it was a huge deal to me. Had one of those moments of knowing that God was real. I kind of reviewed all the steps prior to that, and I just paused. I don't pause often. But I paused. And I questioned if there was a God, and if God was real. If God was real, and it was a really hot, dry summer day when this was going on, and there was like no air movement until I questioned, and then there was this gentle but very firm, strong breeze that happened, and I thought, oh, that's freaky, and that was stupid and a coincidence, and the brain started going. And then I questioned again, and it happened again. And for me, it happened three times, and that's a significant number to me. And then it went back to being a really still, calm day for the rest of the day. Whenever I see the breeze and the trees, I know my God is present. And it was really, really cool because I'd been around the rooms for a little while before that happened. But I had not heard, like, when we close the meeting and people go, who put the breeze in the trees? I'm like, the next week I went to a meeting, somebody said that, I'm like, ah! You know? And I am like, wow! You know, it's a huge deal. But now, you know, I'm really, really at
The best piece when I'm sitting on my back porch in the morning, looking up at the trees that are behind my house, and I see that gentle breeze. And there's not always a breeze, but I know it, I know my higher power is present. And because of that, I'm able to get stiller and just be in the presence of my higher power. And I love that. I do that a lot of mornings. I'm so, so blessed with the setting that I have in my backyard, and I don't know if I'll have it forever, but I got the experience now. And my higher power, again, he's my recalculator every day. It's kind of, a friend of mine and I joke, it's kind of like Siri when I'm off track, recalculating. That's what my higher power does for me, gets me back on track each morning. And then as I'm going through the day, you know, sometimes I remember to turn to my higher power. Sometimes I remember to turn to my sponsor, and my sponsor reminds me to turn to my higher power. But whenever I stop, pause, pray, I get a connection that's like no other, and a peace, no matter what is going on in that day, no matter how insane the family is or the work is or the whatever it is, I get a peace that it's going to be okay, and I'll be given direction when I'm supposed to. So that's what I've got. Thanks.
Thank you. All right, we're going to move to our last paragraph. We can do a couple minutes on this. As we go through the day, we pause. When agitated or doubtful, we ask for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show, humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, "Thy will be done." We are in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. We become more efficient. We do not tire so easily, for we are not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. It works. It really does.
Yeah. When Sharon was just talking, I was thinking about just sitting here, like where I was 15 years ago and where I am today. I couldn't sit for 1 hour without fidgeting or moving around, you know, and just having that, it's like that quiet, calm, you know, that rest inside, you know, that I can feel today, and I couldn't feel that, and it took a while in AA to get a glimpse of that, and a lot of that came from direction from a sponsor that would say, you know, why don't you try this, and I was willing to try something that wasn't my idea, and I'm like, wow, that turned out pretty good, you know, and then again, there'd be another direction, and I'd try it. I mean, it was simple stuff. It was like, you know, go to the grocery store and what are you buying, you know, and I'd have that list written down and to be able to be disciplined and go to the store and just get those items, you know, stay out of the booze aisle, you know, get the fruits and vegetables and what you're going to have for dinner and I go home and cook. It had to be, you know, really written out like that. I was a basket case. But this, you know, this today, though, I love the first one that it says the danger of excitement. Because I don't know about you, but I like excitement. Always have, always been attracted to it. And, I mean, it can be as simple as a trip I'm getting ready to go on, or a great meeting, or getting together with a bunch of people in AA, or whatever. It's like looking for that next thing that's going to happen. And today, this guides me back to being present, and that's a struggle that I've had. There are a group of women, and we've been talking about that being rocketed into the fourth dimension, and which is being present in the moment, and I've never been able to do that, like really be present. I'm present right now. Yeah, I mean, it's like sitting up here at the table. It's not a very comfortable place, but this is where I am for this hour, and I'm present. And so, you know, being able to be present in the moment, not thinking about, you know, what's going to come down the road, you know, what have I got going on tomorrow or next week, because that's when my foolish decisions come into play, you know, where I'm not staying present and I'm thinking about something else that's going to happen in the future or something that I did yesterday. And so asking God, you know, for his will to be done. Because I have to get back to center a lot. You know, where are my feet today? You know, I can say, was I nervous that I had to come here tonight and then I was going to be up on the table? Yeah, it's not very comfortable having to get up here, but I had to refocus and redirect and ask God every moment today when that would come up to me. I would pause and I'd say, help me to be honest tonight and just say the truth. And that was recommended from my sponsor last week. You know, she's like, just ask him to help you to be honest and to tell the truth. And so today when my head would start to, like Sharon was talking about planning or wanting to listen to somebody else's tape on the 11th step, you know, it's like, tonight coming over here, I mean, I had the radio off, you know, it's like, and I had to do that today, you know, it was like, I didn't want to try to tell somebody else's story. It was, this has to be my experience and my truth. And, you know, that, not trying to arrange life to suit myself, because I like to get up here and, like Sharon said, I want to be the best. I want it to sound good. I want, you know, that the accolades and to be like, you know, top knob, you know, what a great job. And, you know, for me today, it's like to be able to sit up here and say that and tell the truth, you know, to say that those are the things that go through my mind today. Did we read that last paragraph about being undisciplined?
No.
I don't remember. Okay. And I'll just end with that, but just that I am undisciplined, and the actions that the program suggests, I like to say requires, you know, those are the things for my day-to-day that lead me further away from that drink. You know, it's like, I mean, that... I'm an alcoholic, I'll always be an alcoholic, but as long as I have myself in this book, my chances are, you know, that I'm going to, I got a shot today, I guess that's what I'm saying. I haven't always done it right, I haven't always put my all into it, I still don't today, but that's the one thing that's been consistent with me for the last 15 years is I've never walked away from AA. I've never said, I'm pissed off, or I'm mad, or I don't like what you said, or whatever. It's like, that's been that consistent path for me. No matter what, I'm not going to leave. And sometimes that's as simple as it is I'm just not going to leave, I'm going to stay. Thanks.
Okay. I like the when and the when agitated and doubtful. My sponsor, Barbara, she pointed that out, that it said when, it didn't say if. That it's going to happen and stop trying to make it not happen. I'm a hypersensitive person, and my husband uses all kinds of like movies and stuff, and he says it's the Princess and Pea syndrome. He's got all lovely ways of describing it. But I become agitated and doubtful quite often, and so I like the fact that it gives me direction on what to do when I'm agitated and doubtful. I also, when I arrived here, I was quite exhausted, and at times I can go back to that. That's my default mode. When I'm trying to run around in my head, trying to figure out how to make the, whether it's productive or not, on the outside, on the inside, how to make things different, or how to make you like me more, or how to make me whatever, be okay. I like the fact that this tells me different than the way I think, that I don't have to tire so easily, just practice the deal. When it talks, even though David didn't mention it, I'm doing it too, about being undisciplined, I tried a tremendous amount of things to become a more disciplined person. I was told over and over again that I wasn't disciplined in and out of the program. And I mean, I even joined the Army because my husband said it would make me more disciplined. What it made me do was hide out for 8 years and try to avoid everything they wanted me to do. Wasn't very effective. What has been effective is not me trying harder, not me coming up with all of these different things, but just like it says, just practicing this stuff
and my higher power has disciplined me. I'm amazed I arrived here on time tonight without speeding, and I was like wanting to high-five my sponsor on the way in the door. It's been quite a journey to do that. I mean, I got a speeding ticket to speak at the oceanfront one time trying to get there on time because I'm not a disciplined person. But when I practice this stuff, I have a better chance, and my higher power has really come a long way with me, so high five, God.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I was going to save this last couple of sentences to close the meeting. On page 88, it says, we alcoholics are undisciplined, so we let God discipline us in the simple way we have just outlined. But that is not all. There is action and more action. Faith without works is dead. The next chapter is devoted entirely to step 12. So if you come back for the next 2 weeks, that's what we'll be talking about. I'm going to pass the seven tradition basket. The seven tradition states that every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It's both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, central office, local services, district, area, and general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose to help the alcoholic who still suffers. The amount of our contribution is secondary to the spiritual connection that unites all groups around the world. Are there any announcements for the good of AA?
My name is an alcoholic.
Lisa.
Sure. Breast Punch is having a 26th anniversary party. It's going to be Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. It's an Old Nation Christian Church in the Woodchuck area. We have two speakers, but from 9 to 9:30, we'll be food, breakfast, spread. And then we'll have two speakers, so please come out.
Okay. I don't think, over here on the table, there's literature available. I know the Saturday morning brunch bunch that Lisa was describing, there's a flyer over there for that. I don't know if we have downtown there in the sewer. This group, 3 weeks from tonight, on November 3rd, we're having, once we finish up, the next 2 weeks will be step 12, and then when that finishes, we usually have a little celebration called Supper and a Speaker. There'll be a 6 o'clock potluck, and 7 o'clock speaker Mike B. from Penrose, North Carolina, is going to come up and share his hair-raising tale of alcoholism and recovery. It's really a great story. We're looking forward to having him. But that'll be right here in this room. Everybody is welcome to attend. There are also flyers around on that. So bring a dish if you wish at 6 on November 3rd.
Woo-hoo!
Woo-hoo! All right, Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group, please see one of us after the meeting. Home group members, please. And I pointed out that there is literature available already. Sponsorship question. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, who is going to be Judy and Evan? We'll be up at the table up here after the meeting, so if you want to come up and ask a few questions, anybody willing to be a sponsor, please raise your hand. You can see, talk to these people as well. And so in closing, I'd like to, can we thank the panel again? And thanks to all who participated. After we clean up, all are invited and encouraged to continue the conversation on the step discussed tonight. And you're also all welcome to attend the meeting after the meeting that's going to be held at the most amazing new restaurant. It's called the IHOP. International House of Pancakes on 21st Street. Sometimes we get asked to quiet down while we're in there. We have a pretty good time in there. So.
Hey, first 30 days.
I missed that, didn't I? Thank you. Is there anyone in the room tonight in their first 30 days of sobriety who would just like to welcome you? You give us your first.
Hey, Joel.
Welcome.
Brian.
Hey, Brian. Welcome.
Hey, Lindsay.
Welcome. All right. So, could I have a volunteer to read the last two paragraphs on page 164?
I'm Charlotte, I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Charlotte.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thank you. Shall we close in a big circle?
Thank you.
Really, really.